Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Great to see our friends from Sheffield. Lord bless you guys. Really great to see you again. Trust you'll be encouraged and strengthened by the word. Challenged, every one of us, to be challenged by the word of God. So, let's just pray. Father, we pray that as we bring, Lord, your word today, that, Lord, you would reveal more of yourself. Amen. You would reveal more of Jesus to us. And that, Father, it would give us a greater hunger. Amen. And a greater desire for you. Yes. We ask this in Jesus' name. Praise God. Amen. The last few weeks I've been speaking on Jesus being revealed. The world today is looking, and they are not finding. They're looking for something that brings satisfaction. They're looking for something that brings peace. And they're looking in all of the wrong places. You know, you can start with psychiatrists. You can start with drugs and alcohol. You can start by going and having a great shopping trip. Yeah. And it's okay for the moment. Yes. And it brings a satisfaction for that brief time. But when the newness wears off, you have to go again. And every time it's all about drawing something out of you. It's about taking something from you. This is not the message, by the way. This is just the preamble. It's about drawing something out of you. And yet, when we see Jesus, it's all about God giving something to you. God wants to gift to you, it says. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over. God wants to give. But yet the world is saying, give me, give me, give me. The world is constantly taking from us. And we're suckers for going the world's way. Because we have a God who wants to give to us. And so many people have chosen to go the way of the world. The world system. Jesus says, come to me, all you that are heavy and weary, laden with burdens. Give them to me, he says, and I'll give you rest. The Bible says, cast all your care upon Jesus, because he's interested in everything that's going on in your life right now. So give it to Jesus. That word cast means actually to hurl. It's like, you know, whoa. Throw it with all of your might. Don't mean just like when you're fishing and you just, you know. It means actually to hurl the thing. Here you are, God. These are all my worries. These are all my cares. These are all my fears. These are all my burdens. You pick them all up and you say, they're all yours, God. They're all yours, God. You sort it. You fix it. God's the great fixer. Hallelujah. And I'm not trying to, you know, bring God down. I'm trying to get you to realize that God is interested in what is going on today, right now, in your life. Oh. I think that's fantastic. That the God who created the universe can actually be interested in you right now. That's mind-blowing. Yeah. That God even knows your name. And I might struggle to know your name yet, but God knows it. You see, he's smarter than me. You know, I get folk coming in, they all know my name. I'm like, and you are? You know, these young people are coming in. I'm like, And what's your name? And so, you know, next week comes, and what's your name? You know, I'm still trying to learn names. And yet, the moment that we meet God, He says, I know your name. He says, I knew where you were last week and the week before and the week before that. Remember when Jesus said about Nathanael? He said, I saw you under the fig tree. He's like, how did he know that? They didn't have surveillance cameras around in them days, you know. The government, you know, didn't have surveillance cameras. But God has always got surveillance cameras. Hallelujah. He knows where you are. He knows what you're doing. And He knows where you're going. Hallelujah. And He's got angels following you around. So you're never, ever, ever alone. That's amazing. You see, you didn't realize that, did you? Yet sometimes you think you're all alone and nobody knows. You know, there was an old song, nobody knows the trouble I've seen. Nobody knows the trouble I'm in. Yeah. God knows. You're not alone. There are angels around us. I was talking in the youth on Friday. That's right, Friday, weren't it? And I am to get on to the subject of when we stayed with some angels. You missed that one. You'll have to come and talk to me sometime. We stayed with angels. That is the only explanation I've got. Never seen them again. Never been able to speak to them again. But we know we stayed with some people for 9-10 days. And later we were told there was never anybody there by that name. Wow. God knows where you are. God knows what you need. All you've got to do is connect with Him and ask Him, and He'll provide for you. Because He's a wonderful, loving God. Yes. Amen. Praise His wonderful name. So we were talking last week about, and the week before, the week before that, about Jesus being revealed. About when the fact that His disciples, well, Jesus actually revealed Himself first to the girls. I don't get this, fellas. What is it? You know, when the Holy Spirit came to announce the birth of Jesus, He went to the girl first, Mary. When He raises from the dead, who does He appear to first? The girls. Fellas, what's wrong with you? Come on. Catch up. You know, we're too busy. We're probably too busy using this, you know, trying to work it all out. Yeah, you know. I'm a man. You know. We are, you know, we are tough and our emotions are held inside and, you know, we know. We got it covered, the girls, you know. We're okay, you know. Yeah, it's a bit like Rambo, you know. I'm telling you, boy. You realize how tall Rambo is? He's somewhere down here. I'm bigger than him. I'm better looking than him as well, by the way, just to let you know. But we think we've, you know, okay. I got this covered. Leave it to me, honey. I don't know what it is. Stop it. Okay. Hush. You see, God's looking for those who are listening. God's looking for those who are wanting to connect with Him. God wants to connect with you. And the moment that you're open to Him, He says, I'm here. I'm here. Praise His wonderful name. And so, you know, the ladies saw Jesus first. He was revealed to them. You know, firstly in the garden, they thought, oh, it's the gardener. Until He spoke and said a name. He knows my name. He was not the gardener. He's the King of Kings. And like I said, He knows your name. He knows your name. And every time you come to Him, He knows your name. And He revealed Himself. And she went and dashed off and said, "Hey guys, hey, you're not going to believe this." "No, they're not. Don't you worry. That's the truth." He said, "He's risen. Jesus is alive." And they're like, nah, we saw Him killed. He's been in the tomb 3 days. Well, come on, I'll show you." So they set off running. Get to the tomb. And guess what? It's empty. It is empty. There's not a body in sight. He is risen. Amen. He is risen. Hallelujah. Praise His wonderful name. And so, everything that we've been doing these last 3 weeks, and on even this week, is preparation for to remind us that we are coming to the day of Pentecost, when God is going to give to us even more than we've ever had before. Hallelujah. The day of empowerment. Not the day of speaking in tongues, but the day of empowering us to be able to stand there and speak the gospel, to stand against principalities and powers, to stand against circumstances and situations, and to resist them and have the power over them. Because that is what Jesus said. When He, the Holy Spirit, comes, He will give you tongues. No, He will give you power. Power over the enemy. Power over the devil. And you know, you're just going to grind him down. Hallelujah! You know, you've got to learn to be a grinder of the devil. Glory to God. Grind him down by the word of God, by your praise. You will crush him. Hallelujah. Underneath your feet. But it's the Holy Spirit that He's going to do it in you and through you. Amen. You see, you're never going to be alone. I started off with that, didn't I? I didn't realize that. But you're never going to be alone. You're always going to have angels and the presence of God with you wherever you go. He says His eye is on the sparrow. See how big a sparrow is? Only a tiny bird. Do they have sparrows in Nepal? Not sure. Do they have sparrows in Nepal? They do. He says they do. Sandip says they do. I'll believe him. So, no matter where, the sparrow appears to be all over the world. In every country, there are sparrows. And God says, "My eye is on the sparrow. My eye has gone throughout all the world. And I know where you are. I know what's in your thoughts. I know what pain you've gone through." Wow. This is the Creator of all things. This is my God. Amen. But the Holy Spirit is going to come at the day of Pentecost to give us the power to bring down principalities and powers, to crush the enemy, and to give glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? That's why we're here. We're to give Him praise. We're to give Him all the glory in the name of Jesus. The title of the message today is God wants us to be spiritual captains over God's inheritance. I'll say that one again. Spiritual captains over God's inheritance. He wants to put you in charge of something. He wants you to take responsibility for things in the kingdom of God. He wants to make you captains over the inheritance that has come to us through Christ Jesus. You think, well, I'm only 14? I'm only 14. What am I going to do? You're going to be a captain of God's spiritual inheritance. What about you? Are you going to be a captain? Donkeys nod. People speak. You know. Are you going to be one? Yes? Oh, good. You'll not scare me if you shout at me. Glory to God. God wants to make you. God wants you to be anointed with power so that you can be a spiritual captain over God's inheritance. The earth belongs to the Lord, and everything that is in it belongs to Him. And if we're going to be captains, we're going to have to take possession, and we're going to have to move into the authority that God has given to us through the Holy Spirit. So I'm going to move you now into the Old Testament, and I want you to turn to 1 Samuel. So if you've got your Bibles, turn to 1 Samuel, chapter 9, and verse 10. I will wait. I hate it when somebody rattles the scripture off and then I'm thinking, what did they say? I said it's 1 Samuel, chapter 9 and verse 10. I like to follow. You got it? Yeah? Thank you. Praise God. On the screen as well. That's why we have it. And this is the story about a young man named Saul. And the people of Israel wanted to be like other nations, and they wanted a king. So in the end, God said, okay, I'll give you a king. I'll give you second best. That's another message. I'll give you second best. I'll give you a man king. And so God spoke to his prophet, Samuel, and began to tell him who he was going to make king. So let's have a look at this. And chapter 9 and verse 10. The story goes like this, that Saul had a father who had a herd of asses, and they'd gone missing. Herd of donkeys. The donkeys are stubborn. They just do what they want, you know. It's like a bit like people. Stubborn, just do what they want, and yet we can't. If we want to achieve something, we have to come under God's direction and purpose, and we will achieve great things. But these donkeys were stubborn, and they'd gone off in a herd together. Probably one said to the other, come on, I'll take you on a trip, follow me. We'll go for a run, you know. And off they go. And they disappear somewhere in the land. And so Saul's father says to him, "You go with one of my servants and find them and bring them back." So he's looking for these asses and donkeys and he cannot find them anywhere. And so the servant that's with Saul says this. Then Saul says to his servants, "Well said, come, let us go and see, so and there to the city where the man of God was." And they went to the slope of the city and found a young woman. Yeah, there's another one. A young woman. And they said to her, "Do you know where the man of God is?" "What is it?" Guys, smarten up. Smarten up, guys. Some of these godly women know things. You see, God's not interested whether you're male or female. He's interested if you're interested in Him and if you're willing to move and you're willing to change.
Yes. Yeah.
Most of the time, ladies are more sort of... Well, they respond to change easier than men. "We've done it this way for 100 years and we're going to carry on doing it this way. We've always done it this way and we ain't going to change." That's why we lost most of the British Army years back, weren't it? You know, we marched in on the bright red coats, you know. Painted target on them. "Hit me if you can," you know. Boom, boom, down there we're dead, you know. We had to change our tactics. We have to change. We have to bring God into the equation. And so they say to this woman, "Do you know where the man of God is?" And she says, "Oh, yeah." See, ask a woman. She always knows. It's unbelievable. And she told them where he was. So the story goes on. And they answered and said, verse 12, "He is seer, he is ahead of you. Hurry now, for he has come into the city today for the people to have a sacrifice on the high place today. As soon as you enter the city, you will find him before you. Go up to the high place to eat, for the people will not eat until after those who are invited." Sorry, "People will not eat till he comes, because he must bless the sacrifice. Afterwards, those who are invited will eat. Now, therefore, go up and you will find him at once." We need to find the man of God. We need to find the Holy Spirit, is where I'm taking you. This is, they're looking for the man of God. Why are they looking for the man of God? Because in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit only ever dwelt in the prophet, the priest, and the king. So the prophet, the priest, and the king. That's how the Holy Spirit was given in the Old Testament time. But today, in New Testament time, it says, "I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh." Hallelujah. So Jesus, when he said to his disciples, "Wait, wait in Jerusalem until you are filled with the power of the Holy Spirit." And the church today needs to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. And then we will see greater and mightier things done than we've ever seen or ever dreamed of in our whole life. So, verse 14. "So they went into the city, and as they came to the city, behold, Samuel was coming out towards them to go up to the high place." Now, Samuel is the prophet of God. He's God's mouthpiece. He's the one that tells them when to jump, to shoot, move over, to shout. He's the one that brings God's message. Because God speaks to him directly through the Holy Spirit. And so he was very important to the nation. Verse 15. Now a day before Saul was coming, the Lord had revealed to Samuel. This is amazing, isn't it? You know, the very day before Saul arrives, Samuel already knows that he's coming. And Samuel already knows the reason why he's coming. See what I mean? God knows. You see, God knows things about you, but nobody else knows. Even you think the secrets, but God knows. He knows everything. Oh, heck. Better go and repent. Ask God to forgive you right now. Amen. He knows everything. He says, and this now this must be an amazing miracle. That when he can actually say he knows the thoughts and the intents of your mind. I mean, that is amazing when it comes to fellas, that God can actually know what you're thinking. But man, when it comes to the fact that he even knows what a woman's thinking, that is doubly amazing, let me tell you. I mean, come on, you know, who knows what a woman thinks, huh? Now, wired differently. God knows. And so Samuel knows that Saul is on his way. He even knows the reason why he's coming. And he even knows what he's going to tell him. Saul knew he was going to see Samuel. He knew the reason why, but he didn't know what he was going to tell him. He only knew part of it. He only knew his side. Samuel knew both sides. Amen. He could see the whole picture. And this is what the Holy Spirit will do in our lives. He will allow us to see the whole picture of what God is going to do, what the plans of God are, and so that we can connect with God and we can be involved and we can be captains of our inheritance in Christ Jesus. So verse 16. And Samuel says this, about this time tomorrow, I will send you a man from Benjamin and you will anoint him to be prince over my people Israel. So Samuel already knows that Saul's going to come and that God has chosen Samuel. So God has chosen Saul. Too many S's in there, isn't there, you know. Samuel, Saul. Before he arrived. That's the English language for you. And he knew he was coming. And knew why he was coming. But you see, Saul thought he knew why he was coming. But God had other ideas. And God had called Samuel to anoint Saul to be king over Israel. Yeah. Wow. I find this is amazing what God is about at this time. Verse 18, then Saul approaches Samuel in the gate and said, please tell me where the seer's house is. And Samuel says to Saul, I am the seer. You see, the prophet was often called the seer in those days. He said, I'm the seer, I'm the prophet. And Samuel answered Saul, and I'm the seer, go before me to the high place, for you shall eat with me today, and in the morning I will let you go, and I will tell you all that is in that is on your mind. Wow. And to a woman, that is amazing, you know. He's going to tell the woman everything that's on her mind, that is troubling her, that is bothering her. You see, God knows the beginning right through to the end. And God, if we come into relationship with Him, will actually plan our life, show our life's plan. And He will take us on pathways. He will take us into things that we've never expected to go, and we shall see exciting things, and we shall do mighty things, and it will all be through the guidance of God. Where I am today, when I was 14 years old, I had no idea that I would be here right now, stood in front of a group of people speaking to them. Because when I was 14 years old, I was shy. I was quiet. Nobody knew I was there. Me, shy. Quiet. Timid, you know. And today, what were you laughing at? And today, I'm different. Because when I was 18, God filled me with His Holy Spirit. And that spirit of timidity, that spirit of fear, was being driven out my life, and I began to change. What do you mean? Hallelujah. I began to change because God started a process. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. He comes into our lives to cause that process to keep moving forward, to cause you to grow, to cause you to be the captain of God's inheritance. Yes. Now, you guys that have been in the army, I don't suppose you have ever seen a timid captain, have you? Really? You know, a real good captain is not timid, is he? You know? A quality captain is not a timid one. You know, the one that knows the authority that has been given to him. The one that is confident in the authority that he can then take his men into battle no matter what's happening. He knows. He has that confidence and that ability that has been given to him. And he knows the authority that he represents. And the men would follow a good captain. Yes? God's looking for good disciple captains that will be filled with the Holy Spirit and cause that inheritance of God to grow and to multiply throughout all the earth. So God wants to fill us and to move us on. And so here we see with Saul, let's just go back there. And verse 20, he says, "And as for the donkeys, which were lost 3 days ago, don't worry about them, for they've been found." He goes on to say in verse 20, well, he tells him, he says, look, he says, God has chosen you for a special purpose. And He's chosen your household for a special position. And Saul in verse 21 says, me? He says, I'm a Benjamite. He says, we're the smallest tribe. He says, and my family is the least important of our small tribe. In other words, I'm a nobody, 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 nobody knows who I am. Okay? I'm a nobody. He says, I've just gone looking for some donkeys that are stupid. Well, see, that's the job they gave me. Go and find them stupid donkeys. So I'm a nobody. So he says, I'm just looking for donkeys. Samuel says, no, you're not. Samuel says, God has chosen you. God has chosen you. God is calling you. Are you prepared to answer the call that God is calling you to? People of God have a calling upon their lives. And I don't mean ministers. I said the people of God have a calling upon their lives. Some are called into the ministry, but some are called to be captains of God's inheritance also. It's not about ministry, but it's been about faithful and honorable to God, allowing God to move you into something greater than you've ever anticipated or believed for. Verse 22, then Samuel took Saul and his servant and brought them into a hall, and he gave them a place at the head of those who were invited, who were about 30. And Samuel said to the cook, bring the portion I gave you, concerning which I said to you, set it aside. Then the cook took up the leg which was on it and set it before Saul. And Samuel said, here is what has been reserved for you. Set it before you and eat, because it has been kept for you until the appointed time, since I said I have invited the people. So Saul ate with Samuel that day. God has set aside something for you. He's got something that is just for you and nobody else. This portion, this leg, was this food was set aside for him. You know why? Because they'd run out of food. They'd run out of money. They hadn't eaten. They were a poor family. Because when you read further on, when they wanted some money, the only bit of money was they got a quarter of a piece of silver. So, he's a nobody. Yeah. From a nobody clan. Yeah. And a nobody family. And yet, God has said, I've got something special for you. Yeah. Wow. Think about that one. God looks at you and says, I've got something special for you. Amen. Who, me? Because that's what we say, isn't it? Why would God really bother about me? You know, he's got the whole universe to run, so why is he bothered about me? Because he's got something special for you. And he's interested in everything about you. So you don't start saying, I'm a nobody, I'm not any good. Because we are special, aren't we? Yes. Good. Yes. We're special. God has chosen you. Because you're special. God wants to fill you with his Holy Spirit. See, I'm believing that as we move forward to the day of Pentecost, that we will see an infilling into people's lives. That the power of God will come into their lives and they would know the presence of God moving in their lives and changing them and pressing them forward into great things. So in verse 27 it says, and so as on the next day, as they were leaving the city, they went down to the edge of the city. And Samuel said to Saul, say to your servant that he might go ahead of you and pass on, But you remain standing now, that I may proclaim the word of God to you. God wants to tell you what he wants you to do.
Amen.
God wants to give you a commission. Now, in Samuel's situation for Saul, it was that God was going to make him king.
Amen.
You see, God had already spoken to him and said, there is a special portion for Saul.
Yes.
Let me tell you this. There's a special portion for deer.
Amen.
There's a special portion for grace.
Amen.
There's a special portion for near. There's a special portion for every one of us. It's got our name on it. It's like Christmas. You know, the parcels come, and you go for the ones with your name on, don't you? Mm-mm, that's mine. Yeah, it's got my name on it. You tear it open, don't you? It's mine. Oh, it's mine. Somebody has picked it for you. Somebody has spent time and chosen it for you. Well, let me tell you this. God has a special portion for each and every one of you. And God has chosen you. Because God knows that you can carry this anointing. Because God is going to put his strength into you. So that when the anointing comes on you, you can carry that. And that anointing is there then to minister into the lives of those that God brings you into contact with, day by day. So in verse 10 and chapter 1, this is what happens. Then Samuel took the flask of oil and poured it on his head and kissed him and said, has not the Lord anointed you as ruler over his inheritance?
Amen.
God has anointed you to be ruler over his inheritance. Are you going to be a captain? Are you going to be a private? What are you going to be? What are you going to be? You're going to be a captain or a private? God wants to fill you with his Holy Spirit that you might be a captain of the inheritance of God.
Amen. Amen.
Like Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16 and chapter 18, I give you all power and all authority in the name of Jesus Christ. To pull down the strongholds. To break the power of the enemy. To give you peace. To give you strength. To give you victory. All those things are in that context of what Jesus is saying. I have come that you might have power. I've come to give you the authority back to rule over the earth again. So many Christians are just coming to church and saying, oh, I just come and fill a seat and it's okay. That's not why Jesus saved you.
No.
That's not why Jesus called you.
No.
That's not why God gave Jesus to die on a cross for you. He gave him that you might come into the inheritance of God. He gave it that you and I might be the achievers in the world today. That we might bring the anointing and the presence of God onto the earth and into people's lives. There's a world out there that's dying. They're dying from sickness and disease and from sin, which is causing it all. We have an answer. We have an answer. And it's the Lord Jesus Christ living in our lives. And he said, I want you to have more than that. I want you to have another part of what I have got. And that is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And so there is that infilling that God wants to go on in your lives. Let's have a look at verse 3 and 4 of chapter 10. Just remember, I told you Saul and his servant had got no money, they'd no food, they'd just been fed, and that was it. Yeah? Verse 3 says this, he's told, then you will go further from here, and you will come as far as the oak of Tabor, and there, three men going to God at Bethel will meet you. One carrying three kids, another carrying three loaves of bread, and another carrying a jug of wine. When I say three kids, I don't mean kids that, you know, that cry. And I mean goats, young baby goats, okay? These were an offering for a sacrifice. And in verse 4 he says, and they will greet you and give you two loaves of bread, which you will accept from their hand. God has prepared for the journey. God has made provision for you in tomorrow. He's already made the provision. Wow. You don't even know what's going to happen tomorrow properly. You think you do. But you know, things can change. But God has already made a provision. And he made a provision for Saul. He says, you're going to meet three men, and they're going to be coming with some things, and they're going to give you two loaves of bread. Because he's got nothing. You see, he's the least of the least of the least of the least. They're skint. That's why they went looking for the donkeys. They're broke, just about. But God knows. So he makes provision. He said, I've got a plan. He said, it's already waiting for you. Just walk on. Yeah. Rejoice. Yeah. Walk on with God. Yeah. It's there for you. Amen. Don't worry about tomorrow. The world says tomorrow has enough cares and worries of its own. Well, let me tell you this. Don't worry about tomorrow, because God's got tomorrow already sorted. You trust God for tomorrow. He's already in tomorrow. How's he do that? I have no idea. Okay? Don't ask me that question. I don't know how he does it. But he does. You see, he knows the future. You don't. You might have plans towards your future. I did. And then later on, God changed the plans. So I'm here. And I don't regret the changes. Don't regret the changes. Because he knows. I'd rather be here than where my plans were going to take me. Because I know I've got the best. If I'd have gone with my plans, I get second best. Or even third best. But if I go with God, I get the very, very, very best. And so we find that God has already made a provision, and he tells Samuel so he can tell Saul. You see, God wants the captain. Saul is like a captain of the Holy Spirit, and he's revealing what God has planned. Wow. You know, you're going to be able to meet some of your friends, and you're going to go up to them and say, hey, let me tell you this. God says this to you. And they look at you as if to say, how do you know that? God told me. I know my friends here from Sheffield. When I've been to the church there, suddenly the anointing of the Holy Spirit comes on, and I begin to say things to people who, number one, I don't even know the name. Number two, I've never seen them before, basically. Or if I have, I've only just briefly met them from another meeting, and I know nothing about them. And suddenly God begins to tell me to say something to them. And then Pastor Neiman and Sarah will stand there and go, that's right. That's right. And I'm like, whoa, you know. Because I do, I say, is this right? We need to know if it's God speaking, to be sure. And they'll tell you, they'll stand and say, yeah, we've seen that happen. They've done it where they go and minister. Yes? And God speaks through them. Because God wants you to know. He's interested in you. He's interested in everything about you. And all you might think, well, I can't understand how that's working. But I'm telling you, He knows your name. The Bible even says, believe it or not, He says, He knows how many hairs you have on your head. I think that's freaky because you don't even know that, do you? How does God know such fine detail? In other words, God's saying, I know everything about you. I know all the fine detail about you. That's how interested I am in you. And so God wants you to know the power of the Holy Spirit. God wants you to feel that power. God wants you to see it happening. And so if we move on here into chapter 10 and verse 6. And Saul had been given instructions where to go. And then he says, and when you get there, he says, the prophets of God will be prophesying. He says, and when you get there, then the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you mightily, and you shall prophesy with them and be changed into another man. All right, now, see, I told you that I was shy, quiet, and reserved and timid. But when the Holy Spirit got hold of me, He changed me into another man. He changed me into another man. Oh. And Saul is told that when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will be changed into another man. You will be changed into being the God man, the God woman. See, God is doing that because He's preparing you for your future. Yeah. What's your future? Tomorrow. God's preparing you for tomorrow. And the day after. And the day after. Yeah. So often we think future is like maybe 5, 10 years down the line. The future's tomorrow. He's preparing you for tomorrow. Are you ready for tomorrow? Mm-hmm. Your parents say, have you got everything ready for school tomorrow? Yeah, ma'am. Yeah. God's saying, have you got things ready for tomorrow spiritually? Are you going to be a captain? Are you ready to dispatch God's orders via the Holy Spirit in your life? Are you ready to lead people to Jesus? Are you ready to lead people into the presence of God? Saul was being asked, are you ready? But I can't talk much. Moses, send me brother Aaron. God says, I'm sending you. And the Holy Spirit will empower you. Doubting Thomas becomes the missionary to India, takes the gospel. Peter, the coward who's afraid of girls. I know you. You were the one that, you've been with Jesus, I've seen you. No, not me, no. And he begins to curse, swear, and blaspheme. And this little girl says, I know it's you. He takes off running. But at the day of Pentecost, he's a different man. He stands up in that crowd of 5,000-6,000 people or even more. And he begins to tell them of Jesus Christ. And 3,000 are added to the church through that message. Because the Holy Spirit came into him and made him a different man. He was not the same Peter. He was changed by the power of the Spirit of God. God wants you and every one of us to be changed by the power of the Spirit of God. I know some of you are probably saying, I don't know how this can happen. Well, I don't know how it can happen. It is a mystery that comes from God. But I know it happened to me. I changed. I can stand before 1,000, 2,000, 3,000 people and I'll still be like I am now. I'm still the same. With the anointing of God, I'm not afraid of the faces. When I was your age, we'd have a crowd only maybe this sort of size in us in the church, and they say, you need to recite a poem, you need to do something, and I'd be like this. You know, I'm terrified. I've been to the toilet I don't know how many times. I'm feeling sick. My nerves are, you know, and I'm like, oh, I hate this. I never want to stand in front of people. You know, let me go be sick. Seriously, I'm not joking. I hated it with a passion. Anything but that. Look where I am now. Another man. Because of the Holy Spirit. He said, I will pour out of my Spirit in Isaiah on all flesh. Former rain, the latter rain, there's going to be a double portion. God wants to give you more and more and more than we've ever had before. What verse did we get to? Six. Okay, thank you. Glad somebody's following me. Verse 9. So Saul has now begun to prophesy in verse 6, and in verse 9 it says, and then it happened, when he, Saul, turned his back to leave Samuel, God changed Saul's heart. And all that happened on that very day, that he was filled with the Holy Spirit. What had happening took place that day. And verse 10 says, and when they came to the hill, there behold a group of prophets met him, and the Spirit of God came upon him mightily, so that he prophesied amongst them. Let the Spirit of God begin to move in our lives. Let the Spirit of God begin to quicken us. Verse 12, and a man there answered and said, now, who is there, Father? Therefore, it became a proverb, is Saul also among the prophets? You see, he's the smallest of the smallest of the smallest, and suddenly, he's prophesying. He's speaking what is being said in the very throne room of God. He's speaking the words of God. And they're saying, who is he? Who is he? He's the anointed one. He's the captain of God's inheritance, the children of Israel. God wants to give to you more than what you've already got. You've just started the journey. You've just started the journey. There's more. There's much more. You haven't really started walking it yet. You're just tottering and, you know, you're not sure yet. And some people might be saying to you, oh, this Jesus thing, it's not real. It's more real than this building. That's how real God is. He's more real than this building. He's more real than what is happening in your life. And He's above everything. I just want to encourage you as we are preparing to move towards the time of Pentecost. And you don't have to wait, by the way, until then to be filled with the Holy Spirit. But I'm encouraging as we, the church of Jesus Christ, moves and celebrates that weekend of being filled, when the church was first filled with power from the Holy Ghost, that we begin to, you know, ask the Lord, Lord, give me more. Give me more. Give me more. Hungering and thirsting for the things of God. Give me more, Lord. Give me more. Come on, be a captain of God's inheritance in the name of Jesus. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Father, we pray right now that by the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord, that this word, Lord, would just be sealed in people's hearts and lives. And Father, we pray that, Lord, you would bring such a desire for the infilling of the Holy Spirit of power in everyone's life, O God, that they may become captains of the Lord of hosts, that they may stand and declare the truths of the word of Jesus. And Lord, that through each and every one of them, Lord, there would be signs, there would be wonders, and there would be miracles done through the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Praise God. So I just want to encourage you, you know, if you want to talk to me afterwards about being filled with the Holy Spirit, come and see us and we'll talk some more. We'll pray with you and, you know, maybe, well, God is going to fill you with the Holy Spirit. That's what He wants to do. Not maybe. He wants to. But your desire, this is my desire, to honor you. Amen. So I'll hand back to Grace and we'll take up our tithes and offering in the name of Jesus and just bless the work that God might rejoice in everything that has happened. Praise God.